We also want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Thankful, again, to be in the house of God. It's always a blessing to come to the house of God, where it should be. And we should enjoy doing that. And praising and glorifying as a song that we sang, Glorious is Thy Name, as Henry mentioned there also. I appreciated the devotional this morning that Brother Chad had about laying up treasures. And I think that goes along with what I thought of talking today with Brother Simon's passing and with Sheila's passing and numerous others in between there that we know of. It makes you think more of eternity. And the question comes up then, are you ready? Are you ready for eternity? That is what our life here is for, is to prepare for eternity. And in Amos chapter 4, he talks quite a bit there that about things that they were not ready. He brought different things into the children of Israel. He brought different things to them, pestilence and various things that he brought in there. But five times in this chapter he says, yet ye have not returned unto me. God never allows anything to enter our lives or bring things into our lives that he does not have our best interest in mind. He's always got our best interest in mind. He wants us, if we have wandered away, he wants us to return unto him. And even if we have not wandered away, he wants us to grow more and more like him. He wants us to be more like him, to grow more in him. And then we go down to verse 12 there. He says all these different things that he has sent in amongst them. Just starting there in verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Are we prepared? There are many, many important events that take place in our lives. First of all, we're born. That is a very important event. Maybe our first word when babies, young children start talking, their first word, that is very memorable, or whatever the word is. And also the first step when they start walking, very important. Maybe even as they grow older, maybe their first date. And then maybe that leads to marriage. Whatever. All these different events in life are very important. and they're not all the same for every person. But regardless of the person or the event, no experience can outmeasure the experience of meeting God, and everyone must meet God. At one point in time, we will meet God. Some may doubt the existence and the authority of God. Some may disbelieve or scorn the thought of possibility of having to meet God face to face to give an account for our deeds. Yet the fact remains, the meeting is inevitable. It will happen. Doesn't make any difference. No amount of contrary belief or unbelief can ever change the fact. No amount of theorizing or philosophizing will ever change the fact. No amount of objection or protesting will ever change this fact. We will meet God. It is one of the unalterable and eternally fixed decrees of an unchanging and unchangeable God. So the question remains, are we ready? Are we prepared to meet our God? If we do much traveling, you'll probably see some of the Christian Aid Ministries billboards scattered all across the country. And that is the very reason for that. And one of those is, after you die, you will meet God. And to use the verse in Hebrews 9, verse 27, and I'll read 28 also. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Those that look for him. Makes me think of Brother Simon. He was prepared. He thought ahead. He was looking forward to that meeting with God. This will be the salvation of all who look for him. He will then perfect our holiness, and our salvation will be complete. I think Brother James put something on Facebook about another chapter was closed or something to that effect. Are we ready to close our chapter or our book? The difference between a nominal Christian or people that try to live a good moral life but have never committed their life to Christ, the difference between nominal Christians and true believers is that true believers are looking for Christ's return. We are looking forward to that. They are looking by faith, by hope and holy desires, and are expecting his second coming and are preparing for it. And though it will be a sudden destruction to the unbelievers and those that have put off salvation for a more convenient time, it will be eternal salvation to those who are looking for it. We cannot put it off. And then the condition of our soul will also determine the nature of this meeting. When we meet God, the condition of our soul. Good standing, good deeds, and good relationships, and even attainments will not help in this meeting. Really won't make any difference what all we accomplished in this life, other than that our heart is prepared, that we have been following after God, that is our desire. Going over into Titus 3, I'd like to read several verses there. Gives us some pretty good instruction. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and power, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That is what we were doing. That is what we do when we are without God, when we have not accepted Christ into our lives. That is the life that we have left, that we need to leave, is all of those things there. People that are doing these things are not prepared to meet God. Verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, and that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Doing good works will not save us. But works are the byproduct of our salvation experience. Because we have Christ within, then we will have the works that follow up. If it was a true experience, we can have the works. We can look just right on the outside without having our heart conditioned and prepared to meet God. But that's all it will be. Our heart is really what God is after. He's not so much concerned about our works. He wants us to have good works. But if our heart is not in it, then it is totally in vain. There is no need for the good works if we're not following after. There in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Because of these other things that he mentions in the first part of this chapter, sure, we weren't involved in all of those things, but even one of those was enough to convict us. So it's not by what we have done, but it is the mercy and grace of God that he has extended to us. That is why we can have these good works. Also in Ephesians chapter 2, which will be our Sunday school lesson next week, he also talks about how we were saved. In maybe the first 10 verses there. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There again, very much the same as in Titus. Fulfilling the desires of our flesh and our mind, it was just doing whatever we felt like doing. That is what we like to do before our conversion. But in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, for by grace are ye saved. We had in our Sunday school lesson also about that grace from God, our Father. We experience that grace. If it wouldn't be for that grace, we would all be lost. And also, I think there in Titus, talked about constantly talking about those things, you know, continually. And that's what we need to do. That is also part of our duty of born-again Christians, is to be talking about these things, be talking about the grace of God, what we have experienced in our lives. And that will encourage each other, and that will help all of us to walk a godly walk of life. Preparation must be made before we come to this meeting with God. Other meetings, if anybody's supposed to, you know, whatever the meeting is, a lot of times there's preparation that goes into that meeting. Whether you're supposed to give a presentation or whether you're just supposed to attend whatever and to learn something, there's a certain amount of preparation that goes into it. But this meeting is even more important. The meeting will be one of joy or grief, blessedness or anguish, triumph or defeat, salvation or condemnation. It'll be one or the other. There is no hope for a peaceful meeting without preparation, and no one in his natural condition is fit for heaven. We are not that way just naturally. Yeah, some of us have maybe have the just by nature, we're not minded as much to do the bad things. Some of us are just naturally kind. But that is still not enough. In our natural state, we are still not enough, fit enough for heaven. We have to be regenerated and changed. There can be no happiness in heaven for a soul that is not prepared to fit the condition there. We have to be prepared for that environment. The test of admission into heaven will be rigid and exacting. There's just nothing else possible. There's no other way in. Jesus said, "I am the door." So it's only through Jesus Christ that we can enter in. We read in Revelations 21, verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." There was a preparation made. We had to live a certain life. We had to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts to have our name written in that Lamb's book of life. And also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." There is no sin. We sing the song, sin can never enter there. So there's no sense even trying or entertaining the thought that I can do as I please and I will be able to enter heaven, that I will be prepared. That is just not possible. It will not happen. We will have to prepare our lives and be followers of Jesus Christ and be purified without spot and wrinkle. I know he's talking about the church here, but the church is made up of believers. And so we cannot have spots or wrinkles to be entered into heaven. The one question for the ungenerated person, the one who has no hope and is without God in the world, is how shall this preparation be made? How shall we prepare for this meeting? And then we go back to the verse that when we started instruction class, back in my day when we started instruction class, it was one of the first verses that we were supposed to memorize. And that was Psalms 119, verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" It's a question. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Then he answers it, "By taking heed thereunto according unto thy word." It's by applying the word of God. That is how we make this preparation. The Apostle Paul also says in Romans 1:16, It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We need to believe. It is only through belief. And belief translates into obedience. I think I've said it before. If we truly believe something, then we will obey. I use the scenario of a tornado coming. If somebody would see a tornado coming and come in here and say, hey, there's a tornado coming, it's coming directly here. The people, would we believe or would we not? If we believed that person, then we would do something about it. We would move out of here or go somewhere because we believed, and therefore that translated into obedience, action to do something about it. If not, if we wouldn't have believed, then destruction would probably have come our way. Also in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Once we have accepted Christ in our hearts, then we will want to know the truth. And our desire will continually grow. We'll want to know more and more. And by obeying the truth through the Spirit will, the more truth we have, the more we will become more like Christ. We will obey more and more. So obeying that, obeying the truth through the Spirit, and then he says to unfeigned love of the brethren, we will love the brotherhood. We will love each other. It will draw us together, and we will help to build each other up. And also, in repenting of sin, Jesus and the apostles preached repentance as necessary to the kingdom of heaven. They preached that many times, actually. We need to repent. We can't go on the way we were. We have to repent. We have to turn around. There has to be a change, because remember, there is no sin in heaven. It will not enter there. By believing in Jesus Christ as the only one in whom there is redemption and hope. And if we go to John 3:16, I think we could, let's just all say that together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. Have everlasting life if we accept Jesus Christ. And then also in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we can enter into heaven in being prepared. And also then by doing that, by being a born-again believer, being a part of the church, then we will also want to fully be fully and freely engaged in a life of faithful service. We will want to allow God to use us to his glory. Just lately I was talking to someone about that, and I told him I am actually finding it a great blessing to just allow God to use us for his glory. Not any glory to ourselves, but allow God to work in our lives and to use us for the furtherance of his kingdom, whatever he has for us. And also, our command is to serve. And Jesus says in John 15, verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He wants us to do whatever he asks us to do. And that brings us back to the devotional again. That is how we lay up treasures in heaven, is by working and doing the things that God wants us to do. So the challenge is today, are we prepared to meet our God? That is a challenge. I'd like to sing a song yet. In song number 569. And I would like us to really pay attention to the words that we sing here. I'm not sure if it's a new song or I think most of us probably know it as far as that goes. But let's sing the chorus on verses 2 and 4. We'll sing the chorus on verses 2 and 4. But pay attention to the words.
I dreamed of the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel.
Are we prepared to meet our God? That is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Each one of us knows whether we are prepared or not. All right, this time, let's rise and we'll ask Brother Henry to lead us in prayer.